Word of God with me to the eighth psalm, tonight. And when you find your place, we'll stand together and read it together. The eighth psalm, we'll read all nine verses together aloud if you're able. Of course, feel free to read along silently, but if you're able, we will read it aloud together. I'll start with the title. It says, "To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David." Now we'll begin reading together in the eighth psalm in the first verse. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture. Help us to rightly divide it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be seated, please. The title, "To the Chief Musician upon Gittith." I read a lot of things about what that means, what it may or may not mean. Interestingly enough, this psalm was known as the Psalm of the Winepress. Almost implied they would sing this psalm while pressing the grapes, while stomping grapes in the winepress. And the idea is that this song can be sung with the cadence and with the rhythm you would need for stomping grapes. And I can kind of visualize this in my mind. I can't think about that without thinking about that I Love Lucy episode where Lucy's in the wine press. Have y'all seen that? That's what always comes to my mind. Y'all forgive me. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but that's what comes to my mind. But to the chief musician upon Gittith, the Psalm of David. It could be Gittith refers to Gath and where the psalm was written. I don't know. Here's what we know. The psalm deals with an interesting wording, and we see it in the first and the last verse of the song. O Lord, our Lord. O Lord, our Lord. It begins with that, it ends with that. And I really chewed on what that means, and that's our title tonight, O Lord, our Lord. What's interesting, and I don't do this often, going to the original languages, but we do understand that there are many names for God, especially in Hebrew. And when you see Lord, and most of your Bibles will probably have this, O Lord, is that a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? Then it says our Lord, where the L is capitalized, but the ORD is not. And the simple answer is when you see the all caps, we're referring to Jehovah, Yahweh. YHWH is how you would spell it in the Hebrew. You're not able to pronounce that. It's impossible to pronounce the word YHWH. There's no vowels. The human tongue is incapable of pronouncing that. What's interesting is from Yahweh, that's how we can. YHWH, the best we can do is Yahweh. And that's also where we get the name Jehovah. Yahweh is probably the closest you can get to that pronunciation. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes for good preaching. I've never let the truth get in the way of a good story. So, that's supposed to be funny. I read this guy that studied voice. He studied the ability to speak. And he studied how it is that we speak God's name, Yahweh. Or is it possible to pronounce YHWH? And he compared the sound of a Y and an H and a W and an H. And he looked at all the languages to see if there are any sounds that are close to what that would find. And here's what he found. The closest thing he can find to pronouncing Yahweh in the Hebrew, in the actual spelling of it, is the sound of breathing. That the YH has a bit of an inhale sound and the WH has an exhale sound. And so his conclusion is the name of God is in our breathing. Because God breathed in the man's lungs the breath of life, and he became a living soul. If this is true, then everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. Every time you breathe, you're speaking God's name. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it sure makes good sense, and it sounds really neat. If every time you breathe, you're breathing the name of God. That includes the animals, the beasts of the field. They are God's creatures, breathing God's name. That would mean that the atheists who deny the existence of God can't help but speak his name when they breathe. It sure sounds cool to me. And if you can prove me wrong, don't tell me, because I like that story. Actually, if you can prove it wrong, I like to hear it. But it's amazing. And when we see Lord, all caps, L-O-R-D, all capitalized, that is the name of Yahweh or Jehovah. But then it says our Lord. And another trick of the trade is this. When you see all caps, that's God the Father. When you see a capital L but a lower O-R-D, that's referring more to the Messiah. So he's basically saying, oh God, our Lord, oh Lord, our Lord, oh God, our Lord, oh Yahweh, our Lord. In the Hebrew, this phrase is actually, oh Yahweh, our Adonai. Adonai means our great Lord, our sustainer, our Messiah. Adonai is a beautiful name for God. My Lord, my great Savior. Another name, of course, for God is the word El, E-L, El. It just simply means God. Elohim is God, but emphasizing his majesty. Elohim implies even plurality, implying the Godhead. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth in the Hebrew. So who created the heavens and the earth? The majesty of the Trinity, the majesty of the Godhead. So although you don't have to know Hebrew because I don't know much Hebrew, it is interesting to see the beauty of which name was applied in which scripture. Also, we have the word El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. Even in some cases, it means the God of the mountains, the God of mystery, the God of glory that is all-powerful and past our understanding. So what we're reading here is, O Yahweh, our Adonai. O Lord, our Lord. O great and powerful Jehovah, our great Savior. So, O Lord, our Lord, O great Creator God, our Adonai. It's a beautiful thing. The psalmist begins by saying, O Lord, our Lord, O Yahweh, our Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Well, which name? All of them. You show me a name for God that's not excellent. I mean, which one's not excellent? Adonai, El Shaddai, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh. It's all beautiful. When we see how excellent is thy name, we're talking about his person, his authority. How excellent is the glory of God. He far surpasses any other false deity. This is the King of creation, the King of glory. He says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. The first observation I want to make this evening is that the heavens declare the glory of God. Now we know this, but is it not true? Now I was at the dentist today, I'm sitting in the chair being tortured, and I looked out the window and I saw a cardinal in a tree eating from a bird feeder. And I was reminded of the glory of God in a beautiful cardinal. And it got me ready for baseball season. I'm ready for it. But the beauty of that. Last night, we opened the window when we went to sleep. And when I woke up this morning around 6:30, it was mighty chilly in the room, but I enjoyed it. You know what woke me up? The sound of the birds. We're getting in the spring. It declares the glory of God. When you look around the heavens, it declares the glory of God. The heavens declare God's glory. He has set his glory above the heavens. The heavens aren't even good enough to declare His glory. It does it, but there's so much more even above the heavens. Where is God? He is above the heavens, far above all principalities. He is almighty, all powerful. So how excellent is His name in the earth. But then we go from this point of, O Yahweh, our Adonai, how excellent is Thy name in the heaven and the earth, and Your glory is above the heavens. Then He drops to this point, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings as Thou ordained strength. After He mentioned, oh yes, we know that Pike's Peak declares the glory of God. We know that the Grand Canyon declares the glory of God. We know all those things. He transitioned from the great glory of the heavens to the weakest things on earth. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength. We all could agree that the weakest people in this room right now are my children, who are 2 and almost 4 years old. They're babes. They're young. They are the weakest here. But yet even out of the weakest, the glory of God is revealed. There's much to be said about this. I mean, frankly, actual infants declare the glory of God. How that God allowed this beautiful creation to be formed in the womb. That is the glory of God. It is beautiful. We are the image bearers of God. We are created in His image. If you look at a child, you cannot deny the existence of God. When you look in the eyes of an innocent child, it declares the glory of God. But furthermore, there's a couple of scriptures in the life of Christ that deal with this passage. The first I want to draw your attention to is Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16. Christ says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now note this. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So, all that's context. Christ is saying, you bunch of hypocrites, you're mad at John because he was fasting. Then I come eating and you think I'm a glutton. You bunch of hypocrites. God's going to have more mercy for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you, because you all know better. Then he says this. At that time Jesus answered and said, verse 25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Know what he says? These people who grew up knowing the great mysteries of God, knowing the great works of God, knowing about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, knowing about David, knowing about Moses, knowing about all the great things, they're all a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. But you found a bunch of weak babes and you revealed to them the things that are past their understanding. Christ said it was glorifying to God for this to happen. There's a literal fulfillment of the 8th Psalm in the 21st chapter of Matthew. Matthew 21, verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. By the way, you know what the timing of this is? After Jesus cleansed the temple. We talked about that on the Lord's Day. Jesus said in verse 13, as it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves. After Christ cleansed the temple, the Bible said the children, the literal children, were praising God and saying, Hosanna to the King. And you know what Jesus said? Hearest thou what these say? That's what they said to Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. We see it happen in the life of Christ, where the children were praising him, while the grouchy old Pharisees were mad that he was preaching the truth. It's a wonderful thing that God declares his glory in the heavens, and his glory, his praise is perfected out of the mouth of babes. Moving forward and back in the 8th Psalm, he said, thou hast ordained strength out of the mouth of babes because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. The psalmist said that when the praise of God comes from the mouth of babes, it actually stills the enemy. It slows down the avenger. Do you know why that is? God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. The world doesn't take you and I very seriously because they see us as just a bunch of weak, crazy people on a Wednesday night meeting when we could be at home watching a ball game. Here we are. We're just a bunch of nobodies. We're weak. They're not worried about us. But God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. It stills the enemy, the Bible says. But then, we've seen how the heavens declare the glory. We see how the weakest things on earth declare the glory of God. My third observation tonight is that God's glory was declared to David personally. It's one thing for us to say, oh yes, I see the glory of God in the mountains and the stars and the sky. I see the glory of God in children and the weak things of the world. But David says, when I consider, in verse 3, when I consider, it would behoove all of us to personally consider the glory of God. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. By the way, I'm not an advocate for being a tree hugger. Trees don't hug back very well. I'm not a tree hugger, but I love nature. I love enjoying the birds. I love enjoying nature. That's probably, if you live here in the city of Topeka, one of the best things you need to do is get out of the city from time to time and enjoy the creation of God. Cities are creations of man. When you spend all your time in the concrete jungle here, you're going to lose sight of the glory of God quickly. I'll be honest, if I spend too much time in Topeka and don't get out of the city from time to time, I get depressed. You got to get in the creation of God and consider the heavens and the stars and the work of his fingers, the moon and the things that he has ordained. But then he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The more David personally reflected on the glory of God, the more he was amazed by the grace of God. You ever look out at the stars and think, if God really made all of this, then what is man that God is mindful of me? When you consider all the things he's done, what is man that he's mindful of us? And the son of man that thou visitest him. There's something prophetic here. We're going to see some pictures of Christ in this psalm. The son of man was the most common phrase Jesus used for himself. He called himself the son of man. It goes on to say in verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. My fourth observation tonight is that God's glory is revealed through Jesus Christ as the second Adam. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea. Back in the book of Genesis, in the very first chapter of your Bible, you know what we read about the first Adam? Now notice this. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. There we go again with the what's the word I'm looking for it here? The different names of God. Elohim. The God of majesty. God in three persons, the plurality. God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The very first Adam, you know what we see? God put man over all of his creation. All the creation that declares the glory of God, God made man a little lower than the angels, but higher than everything else. People said, well, the lion is the king of the jungle. No, we are. Man has dominion over all creation. But wait a minute. Man sinned. There's a curse. There's now a separation between us and the promises of God to man. That's why I'm so thankful for 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, we've already read about the first Adam being promised dominion, but we also know that he fell. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read about a second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in the 19th verse, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By what man came death? Adam. By what man came resurrection? Jesus, the second Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Jump down with me to the 47th verse. For the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord, is the Lord from heaven. As in the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, and the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. This was the promise to Adam, that man would have dominion. Adam sinned. So through Adam's race, mankind, God became man. And all those promises are now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He must reign to put all things under his feet. He will rule and reign over this earth until the last enemy is defeated, which is death. And then will he lay down all principality and power and return to the Father. All these promises are fulfilled in Christ. The heavens declare God's glory. The infants declare his glory. David has seen God's glory personally. But we can see God's glory real easily through Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. As by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, for that all have sinned, by another man's obedience, life has come. Just like we all come from Adam physically, we all through Christ can be born again spiritually. and receive the promise of a resurrection. Receive the promise of glory and honor, being crowned with such. And all things will be put under His feet. So lastly, we see that God's glory is to be praised in all the earth. We began with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. We finished with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. That's the beginning, that's the end of the whole psalm. O Yahweh, our Adonai. You see, through Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Yahweh, He's our Adonai. He's our great Savior. All of the glory of God, all of His majesty, all of His holiness, all of His power is in Christ. And we are in Christ. Christ is in us. So we're able to say, O Lord, our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. And that excellent name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you want to speak it in Hebrew, it's Yeshua HaMashiach. Speak it in Spanish, it's Jesus. Pick a language. It's all the name of Christ and how excellent is His name in the earth. God's glory is declared through all of His creation. And this God of glory is our Lord. So let your life praise Him. Considering that when we consider the heavens, that's the same God we're singing about tonight. We consider the heaven and the work of His hands. That's the same God who wrote this book. When you consider the heavens and the glory of all the earth and the beasts of the field, that's the same God that we pray to. So you're able, with David, to say, O Lord, our Lord. I hope you'll make this real personal tonight, that He is our Lord, our Messiah, our King, our Deliverer. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Adonai. He is Elohim. He is all of those things and so much more, and He's our great Savior. He's our great Savior. So with David, can you say, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Let's stand for prayer tonight.